The following is a Fourth Hand production.
15, 64, 50, 80, 90, hey, hey!
Hey, you guys.
Oh, my nose!
Welcome to A Very Brady Podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Jimmy. And with me, as always, is the other host of that show, Tech.
Hey, what's up?
And on this podcast, we celebrate the iconic TV show, The Brady Bunch. As we break down the bunch one episode at a time, we take the episode, Tech.
Yep.
We break it down.
Uh-huh.
We show it how tough we are by putting it in short shorts and frolicking around with an egg-shaped ball, only to whine and complain like a schoolgirl before hanging out with a bunch of cheerleaders. All for your listening enjoyment. On today's episode, we look at Season 3, Episode 11, entitled Click. If you haven't watched today's episode, please feel free to stop the podcast and go watch it before continuing. You don't have to, but it might make it a hell of a lot more funny if you do. The Brady Bunch is available to stream on Hulu, CBS All Access, and
Amazon Prime.
This particular episode, however, is not available on Hulu, CBS All Access, or
this one wasn't. This one was.
Oh, wait a minute. The next one's not.
Okay. Next week's episode is not. Was not. Is not.
Right. Right.
Won't be.
Right.
Refuses to.
Refuses to. Yes. So if you want to do your homework, ladies and gentlemen, you're gonna have to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. Hey, Lime.
Or have a really cool friend like Jim Larrison.
That's right. Jim Larrison's awesome. Heck yeah. And one reviewer or an email came in. It's like, why didn't you guys buy this before you started the podcast?
It's like, who won't invest like $30?
Why don't you be quiet?
Yeah.
Because we didn't think of it, okay?
Yeah, plus it's available to stream on Hulu, CBS All Access, and Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime!
Except for some episodes. I mean, she has a good point, but whatever.
But you never expect them to hold back certain episodes. What's up with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's rights problems, but I mean, if I was Hulu, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, you get to stream everything in the Brady Bunch library, you know, except for these like 13 episodes. Well, wait a minute. Are you going to give me a discount for not being able to stream them? No.
Right. It's the same with like the Wonder Years. Like the Wonder Years didn't have a claim or whatever. They didn't have the rights to their main theme song. The most iconic theme song in the television show ever.
I think they need to reread the contract because that sounds like BS to me.
It's garbage. But I recently saw something with Danica McKellar talking, saying that it was available somewhere, or they re-released it on DVD or something like that. And then she was saying very specifically, we got the rights to the song there, so you can hear it there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll never know what they'll do if they sang out of tune. So. That's BS. Should hang up and walk out on
them. I know. Okay, so this one's all about football. This is the one that that Jenny wanted to come on.
Yeah.
But she had other things to do, so whatever.
Well, I think what it was she probably went on to Facebook. She's like, hey, I want to see what these guys look like before I, you know, talk to them face to face. And they're like,
yeah.
Man, never mind. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to be affiliated with that publicly.
Probably break my FaceTime camera. No, that's okay. She had stuff to do, and that's fine. So in this episode, it kind of talks about sports, which they've talked about a lot. And we've had conversations about what sports mean you've played, the many, many, many sports that the two of us have played in school. And we often joke around about how we don't really know about sports. Like, we're like, go sports. But in 100% seriousness, smoke and mirrors out of the way, being 100% honest, how much do you know about, how much do you actually follow sports? Like, all joking aside, like, how much do you really know about it?
Well, I know quite a bit about football specifically, just because I used to watch a little bit of it when I was a kid. My mom like was really into football, so I kind of watched a little bit growing up, like adolescent, teenage years, kind of stuff like that. So I know a little bit about football, but a lot of the things I say when I'm joking, like I don't know what that, like most of those are about 98% true. Like I really don't know. I mean, except for our stupid jokes, we're like, "Ooh, football, cool! They're gonna go get home runs." Like we know that's just
a joke.
Yeah,
that's all joking. Yeah.
You know, or
that's like with I make that joke a lot too, but it's obviously joking. Like I know the game, I know the rules, and for the most part, I can even watch and be like, "Wait a minute, he's not allowed to do that." Like that should be offside or whatever.
I can do that,
but like if you named a modern player and asked me what team they play, I have no clue.
Oh, I don't know about that stuff either.
Sports stats and all this kind of stuff.
When I was just had the Super Bowl and I have no clue who even played or who won. So
we just had a Super Bowl.
well, like January we did, I think, or February. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. When I was a kid, my dad used to make me watch football with him, and you know, the only players I remember is like Mean Joe Green and Dan Pastorini and people like that. Like that tells the listeners how long it's been since I've actively watched football. that's like late '70s, early '80s kind of stuff.
I was going to say Mean Joe Green. That's like,
exactly. Yeah.
That's a long
time ago. Refrigerator Perry and stuff like that. So
that was my day. It was like, you know, like Jim McMahon and like the Bears, you know, and Walter Payton and, you know, Refrigerator Perry and all that. Like that was my team back in the day.
So let's hear it.
Hear what?
The Super Bowl rap. Come on, man.
Oh, the Super Bowl Shuffle?
The Super Bowl Shuffle. That's what it was.
1985 Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl. I don't know the... I remember who had it? Somebody had it on 45, like record, like the Super
Bowl. Probably
Ron. No. It was like one of my sisters or something like that. Oh, actually, it might have been my dad.
I was going to say, probably your dad.
Yeah, my dad. Probably.
Your dad has a straight-up radio program. So
He was doing podcasting before it was podcasting.
So what sports do you currently follow now?
I don't follow any sports.
No. The only sport I follow is UFC. And some people would argue that it's not a sport. MMA is a sport. UFC is not. But that's the only sport I'm into. I wish I was into more. I've tried. But I just can't get into it.
Yeah, when I was with my wife years ago, she was really big into college football and like the Gators and stuff like that. And I could definitely see myself getting into it if I was with somebody who was into it, because it is kind of interesting. And I was starting to learn players and stuff like that. But it's been a while since I've been into it.
I know a lot of people that say college football is more entertaining than NFL. Because they said the players are playing because they want to play, because they still love the game, not because of money or whatever. So I don't know if that's true. I don't really care.
Well, a lot of players still do get sponsorships and stuff who are in college but are making like millions of dollars.
So. I mean, I've tried getting into everything from, you know, Formula One racing to basketball to badminton to I even started watching curling.
Yeah.
I just can't get it. I just don't care who wins or loses. I don't really care. So
you ever like, it's hard for me to get into. You ever like flip past something and then you catch like a say a basketball game, right?
Right.
And you're just kind of just watching it. You have no idea who the teams are. You don't know anything about them. Right. But you find yourself going for like the guys in red or whatever, or the guys.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't know why, but you're just all of a sudden like, yeah, or damn it. You know, it's like, like, why am I going for this team? I just randomly picked one in my head. It's just weird.
Yeah. Every once in a while I do. Like every once in a while I'll Google, you know, like worst NASCAR crashes, you know, or like, you know, touching moments in sports or something like that. But I just can't watch them. Kudos to these people that can follow sports and be like, so do you think the Cowboys will take it all the way this year? Like, I have no clue what the fuck that means, but it's awesome. So.
It's like they might. I mean, how far are they going? Like Wyoming with the cattle, or
they have such intricate conversations. So do you think the Pistons will go all the way this year? Well, not with Smith in that position. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Anyways. All right. Well, that's probably enough babble about sports. So, all right. Well, on that note, we'll take our first break. And when we come back, we are going to get into this.
We have to. So.
We do. We'll be back.
Elijah, are you ready to bring on the weird?
Yes, Will I Am. Are you ready to bring on the weird?
Did you just make a Will I Am joke?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. I'll allow it. Anyway, we're just a couple of harmless guys digging into weird things we don't know much about.
We're just trying to figure out what the hell is happening in the world outside our homes.
Do we get things wrong?
Without a doubt.
Are we learning from those mistakes?
Not anytime soon.
Are you entertained by the crap we're talking about?
Of course. That's why I always listen to the show.
You listen? Alright, what do you like to listen to about the show?
I like aliens, conspiracies, cryptids, NWO, shadow government, you name it.
What? Oh, hold on. Do the aliens come from inside the Earth instead of interstellar travel? What made the conspiracy start? Why did that cryptid evolve to do the things it does? Who runs this NWO?
Listen in as we dive into all manners of subjects as we bring on the weird.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit. You can listen to clips of our episodes on our YouTube channel.
Listen, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser.com. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And we are back.
Woo.
Okay. We have The Brady Bunch, Season 3, Episode 11, entitled Click. Let's get into this. Some facts about the episode. First aired November 26th, 1971. Hmm. 3 years and 3 days before I was born. Written by Alfred Lewis Levitt and Helen Levitt. Wow. What a coincidence.
Oh.
Man, the two writers have the same last name. It's crazy.
Do you think like when they were writing a scene, then they humped and then they kept writing? Well, assuming they're husband and wife. So. Yeah, maybe.
Might have been like Greg and Marcia, so it's kind of gross tech.
Which there was interesting something in the next week's episode about Greg and Marcia, but we'll talk about that tomorrow or next week.
Directed by our good man, Oscar Rudolph.
My man.
According to IMDb, Carol being upset that Greg is playing football makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Since in season 2, the drummer boy, Peter was playing football and she expressed no concern.
Because it's Peter.
Yeah.
He's like a throwaway kid. He's like, yeah, it's just Peter. He's not going to amount to anything anyway.
And in fact, in that episode, it wasn't football that got him hurt. It was singing in the choir that got him hurt. Remember, he was getting picked on for singing in the choir. Football, he didn't get hurt. Singing in the choir, he got hurt.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. It's true.
All right, so let's get into this.
All right.
We fade in. Mm-hmm. In the driveway, we see Greg ride up on a bike with a football in the front basket. He rides the bike into the garage and comes out carrying the football. He walks to the house, but not before pausing and looking bothered by something. He gets to the sliding glass door, pauses, and sees Alice and Carol in the kitchen preparing dinner. He hesitates before going and sitting at the end of a lawn chair. As he sits, seemingly contemplating his problems, Bobby comes around the corner, asking Greg to help him with a camera issue. Apparently, he wound the camera too tight and skipped over picture 8 and is almost to picture 9. When Greg dismisses the issue, saying, "So?" Bobby points out that he spent an entire allowance on the film and doesn't want to miss a picture. When Greg tells him he can't get the picture 8 back, Bobby simply tells him, "Some camera expert you are," and walks off.
In a huff.
After Bobby leaves, Greg says to himself, "Well, I might as well get it over with, and enters the house through the sliding glass door. Man, all I could think about was thank God for that chain guard. Because I don't know if you ever had this happen, but my bike didn't have a chain guard. I took it off because I thought it looked cooler. And my pants would get stuck in my chain.
Right.
Which sucks if you fall to the right, because then you can't. You just gonna fall down. Like you can't.
Right.
And then my mom would get pissed because I had to get grease and stuff all over my pants. I couldn't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom, whenever I rode my bike, my mom made me put a rubber band around my pant leg, only on my right leg. And I felt really, because people would ask, "What the hell's up with the band-aid?" Or with the rubber band, rather. And he was wearing bell bottoms. So you know that shit would have got stuck in the chain. Yeah. So no, kudos
to
that.
It's pretty common. Sometimes people like tuck their pants into their socks or something before they ride a bike or something like that. Hmm.
Yeah. Most people ride those goofy looking shorts. So. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Scene two. Greg enters the kitchen where he finds Carol and Alice. He pauses before saying, "Mom, there's something I want to tell you." He tries to speak, but can't seem to get the words out. He finally resorts to, "I'm very hungry." When Carol answers, "Yes," Greg replies, "That's it," and exits into the family room. Carol, being the genius she is, replies, "I'd say he has more on his mind than food." Alice sarcastically replies, "I'd say you were right."
I wrote on here, I'm not exactly sure where I was going with this, but I wrote, my note says, Alice seems to think that Carol was talking about Greg wanting her. I don't know what I mean by that, though.
I don't know either. Maybe it was some sort of delivery the way he said something.
I don't know. It doesn't matter because I don't know what I meant. So. All right. Scene three. Greg exits the house through the sliding door he came in from. He paces for a second, seeming upset, finally picking up the ball and walking out into the yard with it. He then hears a car and realizes Mike is getting home, which seems to relieve him. He tosses the ball to Mike with a, "Hi, Dad." Mike makes a great one-arm catch, asking him what his mother said. Greg sheepishly tells him that he hasn't told her yet. Mike seems confused by this, telling Greg he thought it was first order of business after practice. Greg makes an excuse, saying it slipped his mind with him trying to get off to school on time. Mike suggests that Greg could have told her after school, but soon realizes that Greg really needs a little help. Hmm. Mike puts his arm around Greg, telling him, "Come on, we'll tell her together," which seems to relieve Greg as they walk into the house.
Man, so like, why does Mike slide over and gets out? He gets out of the passenger side, which is really weird.
Well, it's weird, especially nowadays, because now we have bucket seats.
Yeah, yeah.
Very few vehicles still have bench seats like that. Right. Even my Suburban doesn't have a bench seat.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But they seem to waste a lot of time in this scene.
How so?
Well, it's just a lot of Greg pacing and a lot of Greg, like, how long do they have to establish, okay, we get it, he's upset about something. We got that in the first scene. Like, why are you doing this again? So, well, apparently they took that time away from Peter because, you know, whatever. Anyways.
Is this the episode where Peter was hardly in it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Wasn't it?
I'm not sure. Hmm. All right, scene four. In the family room, we find Carol arranging flowers on the table. When Mike and Greg enter, Carol greets them with a, "Hi, honey. Hi, Greg," as Mike kisses her. Mike and Greg both seem nervous about telling Carol something. Mike tries to stall by saying how something smells good in the kitchen. Greg picks up on this and agrees as he begins sniffing the air as well. Carol seems suspicious before finally asking if something is wrong. Mike half-heartedly tells Carol that nothing is wrong and goes on to explain that Greg just has something he wants to tell her. Greg begins to chicken out, telling Mike that he thinks it would be better if Mike tells her. Carol, finally realizing that, hey, perhaps something is wrong, genius Carol, and explains that she should have replied something was wrong when Greg tried to tell her before. Mike firmly reassures her that nothing is wrong. Greg adds on that it's actually kind of great. Carol sarcastically agrees, telling them it's so great that both of them are too chicken to tell her what it is. Greg finally manages to get out that it's about football and quickly assumes that Carol doesn't know anything about football. I mean, after all, she is a girl, so.
Yeah, that's
true. But Carol proves him wrong, explaining that she does indeed know about football. That it's the game that Mike and Greg watch on TV where the big guys try and kill each other. Greg then tells her proudly that he made the football team. Mike adds that the coach says he's a natural flanker back. Flanker back?
What the hell's a flanker? That's what she says in the episode. I even had it on closed captioning because I've never heard of a flanker back.
Me either. Where's Jenny when you need her?
Especially since later in the episode, he's on his bed doing like a throwing motion with his arm. There's only one person, as I know, that throws the ball on the team,
right.
And it's not a flanker back. So,
yeah, I don't know.
So, Ginny, if you're listening, hit us up. And I don't understand. I guess I could have Googled it, I guess. But.
Anywho, but Carol puts her foot down, saying no son of hers is going to play foosball with these two, with those 2-ton monsters. Except for Peter, of course, in season 2, episode 16, right? But Carol wants no part of it, saying she doesn't care if the other players were kindergartners. Mike tries to reassure Carol, telling her the coach wouldn't have picked Greg if he didn't think Greg was up to it, and that the coach would never take unnecessary chances with the boys. Greg, trying to build momentum with the argument, cuts in, telling Mike to tell her about the great things football does for you. Mike continues on Greg's thought, saying that Greg will learn the importance of teamwork and being part of a team, to which Greg echoes, saying, being part of a team.
He like echoes. He's like, being part of a team. And he's like, being part of a team. You know, he's echoing whatever he's saying.
Mike continues saying that Greg will learn how to win gracefully, to which Greg echoes again, right, win gracefully. Mike continues, and lose with dignity. Greg echoes, lose with, wait, what do you mean by lose? But Carol stops it, saying, I'm sorry, Greg, but football is out. Greg, seeing that Carol is actually silly, tells her that a guy can get hurt even at home in his own bathtub. But Carol won't budge, coming back with, sure, but he doesn't have two other guys in the bathtub trying to knock him down. To which Mike says,
Mike's like,
I was just going to do a joke. To Mike says, well.
Well, you know.
You haven't seen my Tuesday nights.
Exactly.
Mike then tries the sensitive approach, telling her that she is being overly concerned about this and that thousands of kids play football every week. Carol thinks about what Mike said, you know, to the best of her ability, and finally agrees, telling Mike that he's probably right. She then turns to Greg for confirmation, asking him if it really means that much to him. Greg says, nah, I'm good. No. Greg assures her that it does. Carol finally reluctantly agrees, but promptly tells him that it doesn't mean she's not going to worry. Greg thanks both Carol and Mike before exiting the room through the kitchen. Mike sees Carol worrying, tries to make her feel better by telling her that Greg can take care of himself. Carol then whines like a child, asking why Greg couldn't have gone out for the debate team. Mike jokes that Carol would have been worried that he would have sprained his tongue. Carol sternly looks at Mike, telling him that that wasn't nice. But Mike just laughs and hugs her.
Funny, ooh, that was a long one. Me spraining my tongue. Sorry. At 3 minutes and 49 seconds, Mike's thumb seems to go through the glass of the door.
Oh my God, I was looking for stuff like that too.
And also, where's the TV that is actually, that's usually in there?
In where, what room are we in? Living room?
We're in the anti-Alice room, in the family room.
Oh, the family room? I don't know.
Because there was a TV in there, and that's where Marcia saw herself on the news.
Yeah, yeah. They've but watched a lot of stuff now? In there. I noticed that TV seemed to disappear every once in a while, like in the living room in one episode recently. The TV was completely gone from the living room.
I don't know. But also, you can get hurt in basketball and baseball, too. It's not just football.
Right.
So I don't know why Carol is so anti-football. Maybe she screwed a college, like a football player in college or high school.
So like earlier, she's like, you know, she's like, oh, is that where those guys try to kill each other? And she's like, and then Mike is like, well, yeah, those are pros, but he's going to be playing against high school kids. And then she's like, I don't care if they're kindergartners, you know, he's not playing. Or like he can't do it or something like that. And so my note was like, she doesn't care if they're kindergartners. Like, I think Greg can take on kindergartners if he was playing against kindergartners. So I don't know. I just kind of.
That's funny. Scene 5. In the kitchen, we see Alice along with Jan and Cindy. Alice seems to be writing a recipe onto a chalkboard. As Alice writes, Cindy begins saying that it tastes like lemons. But Jan disagrees, saying it tastes more like lime to her. Alice, exasperated, says, how do you like that? The best cake I ever created, and I go and forget my own recipe.
Mm.
Jan and Cindy agree to keep thinking and leave through the family room. Just then, Greg walks in excited, exclaiming, I got it. This time, I really got it. Alice comes back with, whatever it is, don't give it to the rest of the kids. Greg finally tells her that he's talking about a football play, a variation on the L pattern. Alice asks what an L pattern is, and I felt so dumb for Alice, like, but you
so
know,
so stupid. She don't know what an L pattern.
I listened because you know it's the show, but right. It certainly wasn't because I didn't know what an L pattern was. Weird,
right? Stupid maid.
Alice asks what an L pattern is. Greg tells her he'll show her and begins to erase the chalkboard that Alice just wrote her recipe.
Oh.
By the time Alice tries to stop him, it's already erased.
Mm.
Greg asks, after he erases it, if it was something important.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I thought it was kind of a dick thing, too. Oh, was that important? Well, why wouldn't you ask it before? Anyways, Alice tells him no, and it's just a recipe that'll remain a big mystery, as mystery as the Sphinx.
Hmm.
But, to Alice's credit, as soon as Greg apologizes, she immediately tells him it's not a problem and asks about the L pattern that he was talking about.
Hmm.
Greg begins drawing really crappy stick figures of the quote-unquote offensive team.
Hmm.
I mean, they didn't even have heads, Tech. They look like X's.
Hey, does that mean they're like, dead?
I don't know. They're the shittiest looking stick figures I've ever seen. Anyways. Then makes circles and calling them the defensive team. Still no heads.
Hmm.
Alice immediately tells Greg her money is on them and that the other team just isn't going to be able to get through the big fat fellows.
Hmm.
Greg then begins explaining that he has a play worked out with one guy where one guy takes a handoff to another guy and then the other guy comes out for the L.
Hmm.
Greg continues saying it looked great on the blackboard, but he just wishes he could find some players to try it out with. Alice again impresses, telling Greg that she volunteers, explaining that she doesn't know much about football, but she does know that she'll fill out two or three of those circles.
Hmm.
Greg just smiles and laughs.
Hmm. Why didn't Alice just write down that recipe like in her phone or like on her iPad or something?
I don't know. Because she's stupid?
I guess so.
Maybe she can't write. Well, no, she can write because she was writing on the blackboard. I don't know. That's a good question.
It was kind of weird. Like that whole second half of that scene, I don't remember at all. I must have like got distracted during the second half of the scene.
Well, I know why she didn't, because I think all they have is pencils and somebody can erase it.
Hmm.
So it wouldn't make any sense to write it because it might get erased. But anyways, that's an old, you can't do that on television joke that they did. Well, and I know you can't do that on television came out after the Brady Bunch, obviously, but there was an episode where Lisa Ruddy says, "I've got it." And then Christine Bigley goes, "Well, don't give it to anyone else." So I thought that was kind of neat here. And I was like, "Oh, I remember that."
I heard that.
I heard that. Yeah. So, and then I just reiterated that Greg really sucks at drawing football players.
right. All right. Scene 6. We now see the girls sitting on a swing and they're cheering on the quote football players, which consist of the three boys and Alice. Alice plays quarterback as she gets the boys in a huddle and shouts, "Okay, team, this is an L out pattern. Greg, Brady version on 2. She shouts, "Hut 1, hut 2. She pretends to hand the ball to Greg, and as Greg runs away, she begins shouting to Greg to go long. Alice throws the ball with all her might, and a second later, we hear a honk as Mike pulls into the driveway, holding the ball, shouting, "You're a contraception."
What?
"You're a contraception."
That was me getting tired and making stupid jokes.
Mike yells interception or something about an erection.
It's like contraception or something about erection or something. Oh.
Alice just gives Mike an okay sign with her hand and laughs.
It's a shame they don't have a dad that they can do this instead of Alice.
Well, he's always away.
That's true. Visiting his other family.
Alice has quite the arm. I was kind of impressed.
I guess. They didn't really show the ball after she let go of it, so it may have just went straight up in the air and hit her in the head. So.
Well, I got you, but it went so far as where Mike caught it while driving, so, I mean, how impressive is that?
Hmm. Huh? Good point. Maybe she played football in high school.
Well, she did cheer on the football team. She was the cheerleader.
Yeah, she went to an all-girls school, too, so that means they allowed girls on the football team.
Well, I think we discussed that last week. So they most likely cheered on the all-boys team, maybe? I don't know.
You know you want to see Alice in a little cheerleading outfit.
I'm hoping.
Scene 7. We are now in the backyard, where Greg has somehow gotten a cheerleader to agree to let him take pictures of her cheering. We slowly pan into the house to see Carol and Alice doing dishes and smiling at what's happening in the backyard. Alice seems proud of Greg and busts out with, "Now that's what I call the fringe benefits of high school football." Alice knows what the fuck's up.
You're right.
Carol lets Alice know that it's Lynette Carter and asks, "Isn't she darling?" Alice looks and goes, Alice then observes that she seems to have a little bit of a crush on Greg. Carol, unable to let shit go, tells Alice that she'd much rather see Greg crushed that way than get crushed on the football field. The camera then cuts back to outside where Greg is still taking pictures of the cheerleader. The cheerleader finally gets tired, saying she doesn't think that she does this many routines in an entire football game. Greg tells her to take a break and that he thinks he got some good shots. Making small talk, she tells Greg that she didn't know that he was such an expert with a camera. Greg, not being an expert, says that it's just a hobby, but quickly recovers, telling her the way she looks in that outfit, the pics can't help but come out to be good. Oh, shit. Busting out the lines. She compliments back, telling Greg that she stopped by the football practice the other day and that Greg looked pretty terrific in this uniform. Greg brushes off the compliment, telling her that it's just the shoulder pads and things. Greg then pauses and finally says, "Hey, after the game next week, would you want to go to the pizza place with me? I found it strange he didn't call it the pizza parlor because they made it a point to say that in that last episode." But anyways, her voice cracks with excitement as she says, "I'd love to." Greg, trying to solidify plans, says that afterwards, maybe they can go back to the victory dance, but is interrupted by Bobby telling Greg that if he can fix his camera, he'll take pictures of them. Greg, wanting to be alone, tells him maybe some other time. Bobby introduces himself, telling her, "Hi, I'm Bobby." Lynette politely says, "Hi." Greg, still wanting to be alone, finishes the introduction, telling Bobby, "And this is Lynette. And we don't want our picture taken right now, okay?" But Bobby argues, asking Greg, "How do you know? You didn't even ask her." Greg tries to get rid of Bobby again, more directly, asking him to go do his homework. But Bobby is ready with another excuse, answering, "I did it." Greg lets out a fake chuckle, trying to be nice, and asks Bobby if he will run along. But Bobby, being a typical little brother, looks at Lynette and says, "Listen to him. Just because he's on the football team." Lynette jokes back, saying that when he's a big hero, we'll be lucky if he even remembers us. Bobby, not quite understanding the joke, tells her, "Well, he has to remember me. I live here." Lynette laughs as Greg glares at Bobby.
So Greg knew what the fuck he was doing.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did. Yeah.
And he's like, she's like jumping, and he's like, "I think I got some good shots. Panty shots." Jump higher.
Greg's being freaking rude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that that many girls are impressed by a guy that's rude to his family. I don't know. That's,
but he did get some panty shots, by the way, again on the show.
But Greg didn't even introduce Bobby, which was kind of rude. Also, either that girl was really good, or she was trying her hardest not to like break character and laugh. Because when she, the whole interaction with Bobby and Greg and everything, she, I don't know, this was probably one of the best extras we've seen, I think.
I guess this far, but in, which one is it? Oh, in the next week's episode, there was one I really liked.
Agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Yeah. She was really good too. But this girl was just the way she interacted with Bobby. I don't know. It just seemed really natural. It's because you do a good imitation of how they normally sound, and she didn't sound anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually it's like, "Hi, yeah. Bobby. I am Greg's friend, Lynette." You know, usually it's like that, but she wasn't like this at all.
All right. So scene 8, Carol is in the kitchen, proudly doing cooking stuff by cracking eggs into a clear mixing bowl when Greg enters with a "Hi, Mom." She cheerfully answers, "Hi, Greg. How was practice?" Greg replies, "Oh, fine." But Carol hones right in on Greg's arm, and she notices a large bruise. She runs over, stating, "Greg, you're hurt." Greg dismisses it, saying, "It's only a bruise." But Carol runs over, picks up his arm, saying it's the worst bruise she has ever seen in her life.
Ever!
And uses the opportunity to push her point yet again, and this is why she was so nervous about him playing football. Greg calmly awaits for Carol to finish, finally explaining that he didn't even do it at practice, and that it's from him bumping his arm in math class. Carol, starting to relax, lets out an, "Oh, does it hurt?" Greg tells her that it doesn't hurt, but he'll be glad to quit math if she thinks it's too dangerous. Carol just stares at Greg, tells him he's terrible, then reaches over and grabs his banana.
You're terrible.
Honk. Sorry. Sorry, listener from Minnesota.
What? He had a banana in his hand.
That's true.
Don't apologize to Minnesota. That's not a body part. It's a banana.
You know what? I take it back. I don't apologize.
Exactly. But I hope Carol felt stupid.
I bet you feel stupid, don't you?
I really hope she felt stupid. All right. Scene 9. We are then treated to a montage of a guy practicing football with no pads on. We are now treated to a montage of guys practicing football with no pads on and in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Never seen any kind of team practice this way, but that's okay. Right. So you know how I'm kind of into, well, we both are, you know, we're students of film, so to speak. And we're into filming locations and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got kind of curious. This shot was filmed at John Burroughs High School, 1920 West Clark Avenue in Burbank. Mm. If you go on and look, it's changed too much and you can't really recognize it now, but that's where this was at. Okay.
All right.
So I got curious, what other movies have filmed here? What other movies and TV shows, right? Mm-hmm. So the movie Little Giants filmed here.
Oh, okay.
Some movie called Fired Up. Never heard of it. Some movie called Full Moon High. Never heard of it. Police Woman. Never heard of it. American Housewives. Never heard of it. But a little show called The Wonder Years. Yes. The Wonder Years filmed at this exact same school.
There's another Wonder Years connection. We somehow keep talking about The Wonder Years.
Exactly. That's weird. Maybe it's a sign.
Maybe. All right. Scene 10. Now in a locker room, after practice, we see two guys locking up a locker before grabbing their books and leaving. The camera pans over to see Greg sitting on a bench in blue shorts and a white t-shirt, reading a playbook. The coach walks into the locker room and spots Greg. As he walks over, he says, "I thought you'd be dressing out by now." Greg explains that he's just running over a couple of new plays and that he really wants to make first string. You know, since he can't seem to on the basketball team. Oh.
I thought that was funny. Sorry. I had to throw that in there. You know, make first string on the football team because, you know, can't seem to on a basketball team.
Right. The coach is understanding, telling him he knows he does, but then tells him to get out of here, reminding him that they have first practice game of the season tomorrow. Greg smiles and says, "How can I forget?" The coach looks at him sternly, telling him that he expects his first string players to go home and get some sleep, and gives him a little wink. Ah.
Uh-huh.
Greg gets excited as he jumps up, exclaiming, "First string, far out!" But the coach quickly reminds Greg not to get too excited, and that it's only a practice game. Until the actual season starts, every spot on the team is open, and that Greg will have to fight plenty hard to keep it. Greg, excited, telling the coach, "Will I ever?" and starts changing out of his practice clothes.
Hmm. Wow.
That coach was, like, super creepy. Like,
he was. I thought so, too.
I mean, it's not just... it's the way he talked, his, like, his cadence, and just, like, he was, like, really down, like... I thought you'd be dressing up by now, Greg. It's like, oh my, I don't even just like talk. Consistently talked that way through the whole, I don't know, it was weird.
He probably walks in on his wife in the bedroom, like with his thing tucked between his legs, going, look, I'm a girl. You know, that's what he seemed
to do. Don't like. I look like a little girl?
My dad used to have a watch band just like this guy. He had a big leather band, and the watch itself was held on with snaps that kind of went through the pins and then came back and snapped. My dad had that same watch band. So I was like, yeah, I remember that watch band. It's cool.
It's fun.
Scene 11. Back at home, we see Greg in the boys' room studying the playbook with the cheerleading pictures he took scattered all over his table.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The door opens and Bobby slowly walks in with a soft, Greg, can I talk to you for a minute? Greg obviously doesn't want to stop studying, but makes time anyway, saying, sure, but can you keep it short? I have a lot of new plays to learn. Bobby holds up a picture of the cheerleader and asks why Greg took such good pictures and that he takes such rotten ones. Greg answers honestly, saying, for a lot of reasons, but you take good pictures for a guy your age. Bobby's still discouraged. Yeah, right. Bobby's still discouraged, explains that he really wants to take good pictures for a guy Greg's age. Then goes on to say that every time he tries to take a picture, everyone comes out looking dumb. Greg explains that it's because Bobby is trying to pose them and next time try to take pictures when they're not expecting it. That way they don't look stiff. They look natural. Bobby seems super excited about this tip and walks out saying, yeah, I get it. Thanks, Greg. Greg says, anytime. Bobby gets to the door, thinks for a moment, holds up his camera, and calls Greg's name. When Greg looks, Bobby snaps a photo. Greg just laughs. I thought that was funny because that's how I take pictures too. So I don't like posing people. I don't like using flashes. I just like people to not really expect it.
You just call their names out? Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks that way. I learned all 150 people's names. It sucks.
Scene 12. Down in the kitchen, we see Alice slaving away with what looks like dough and flour. She kneads the dough, wiping her forehead, and of course, getting flour all over her face. When the camera pans out, we see Marcia cutting radishes. And just
see, I'm washing lettuce. Soon I'll be on fries. That's what I thought about.
I was just remembering later in the scene. After she eats one, she makes a face saying the radishes were bitter. At that moment, Bobby pops up and snaps a photo of Marcia. That face was hilarious.
That's a meme. I've seen that face quite a few times.
Really? I haven't seen it. When Marcia protests saying she was making a face, Alice comes to Bobby's defense saying, oh, come on, honey, where's your sense of humor? At that moment, Bobby snipes another photo, this time of Alice, who is wiping her face, getting flour all over it. Once she realizes what happened, she complains, saying she looks awful. Marcia smugly answers, where's your sense of humor, Annie? Bobby giggles and runs out of the room.
One thing I thought about, and I'm obviously I would notice it, but I have yet to see him change his flask cube. You can only get 4 shots off a flash cube, and then you got to change it. And at no time in this does he ever actually change it, or do you see him carrying them around? Because they were one-time use only. So,
well, there we only saw him take 2 pictures, so maybe he walked away, and I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Scene 13. We see Jan and Cindy standing in the bathroom. Jan is doing Cindy's pigtails while Cindy is telling Jan not to do them so tight. Just then, the least expected thing happens.
What?
The door to the boys' room opens slightly, and Bobby, of all people, jump in and take a photo.
Ooh.
The girls are shocked.
What if they've been pooping?
Or, like I wrote down, like, what if they weren't? Well, what if they were changing? Yeah. And he just jumps in and snaps a photo of them.
Maybe that was his point. He was hoping something like that.
Maybe that's why him and Greg developed their own photos.
Right. Let me see the pictures of your cheerleader you took. Why are they stuck together? Yeah, I need you to help me take some pictures I took yesterday, Greg. All right. Scene 14. It's now sleepy peepee time in the boys' room. Greg and Peter are sound asleep, but Bobby is wide awake. As he lays there, he starts calling for Peter. Peter. Hiya, Peter. Peter slowly stirs awake, finally with a, huh? Bobby tells him there's something he's got to tell him. Peter, irritated from having to wake up, asks, can it wait? With a smirk, Bobby tells him no, and that it's very important. Peter rolls over, looks down at him from the top bunk, when the completely unthinkable happens, Jimmy.
What's that, Tack?
Bobby snaps a photo of Peter.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Peter's irritated by the flash, plops his face down into the pillow, and rolls back over to go to sleep. Bobby goes to sleep grinning.
As an actor, that would piss me off having to do that. Because you know they didn't get that shit in one take.
Well, what kind of, because this is the first time you're seeing Peter 13 minutes into an episode.
Yeah.
And you actually don't even see Peter in the shot. You just see the back of his head.
Well, no, you see him because he hangs his head down to take a picture.
No, because he's like, hey, Peter. And he's just like talking to him with his back to him the whole time. Right. And then he's like, what? And then you see the picture snap, and they show like the picture of him like looking over.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Yeah, maybe it wasn't him.
But I mean, he was in the episode, but you don't actually see him until later, which is kind of weird. I don't know.
Scene 15. Mm-hmm. It's the big practice game. Mm. We see the two teams lined up on the, you know, the line things.
Yeah.
One player runs like 10 feet and gets tackled. Mm. We then crossfade to another play. This time we see one player catch the ball, begin to run, but quickly gets tackled.
What a game. What a game, Jimmy.
G-Tack, I hope it's not Greg, because then Carol would never let that shit go. So this was filmed yet on another field entirely.
Oh, yeah?
This was filmed at John F. Kennedy High School at 11254 Gothic Avenue in Granada Hills in California, which I guess is a suburb of Los Angeles. And there's only one thing that is ever recorded there. Do you want to take a wild guess at what that was?
Rudy. No, I don't know. What?
The Hannah Montana series.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah.
That was my next guess. First one was Rudy. And my next one was Hannah Montana.
I thought you were going to be like, The Wonder Years? I'm like, no.
Oh, damn. I didn't even think of that. Huh. So, yeah. That's kind of cool. So, you think that was like a real high school game they just showed?
It probably was. That would have made sense.
Yeah. Scene 16. Next, we see Greg being helped back to the locker room by the coach and three other guys. Greg is protesting, telling them he just got the wind knocked out of him and that he's ready to go back in. But the coach is firm, telling him that he will be the judge of that. And then he starts like touching him and starts putting his hands around it. No.
Yeah, that's weird.
He then tells the other guy to get back to the game. Once alone, here it is, Greg becomes a victim as the coach tells him to lift up his shirt so he can take a look. Now, why don't you lift up that shirt, son? Greg lifts his shirt, telling the coach that it's nothing but a bruise and that it's just a little red. The coach
Why was he feeling his nipples, though? This is kind of strange. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Sorry.
The coach rubs it to see if it's nice and tender. The coach tells Greg it might be bruised, but it might be something more. The coach then decides there's no sense in taking a chance on it just for a practice game. Greg is brokenhearted to hear this and lets out a, but coach! But the coach holds firm, telling Greg that he's going to get his ribs x-rayed before the big game on Friday. Greg begins to get mad, telling him, really, I'm fine. But the coach tells Greg to calm down and that he's going to call his parents and tell him to run down to the doctors because, you know, they didn't love you enough to come to the game.
Well, it's true, though. Caroline doing shit, just sitting at home.
Greg realizes what this means and what Carol will say and begins to beg coach, yeah, don't call my mom, call my dad. The coach agrees with a nod.
And usually it's probably the other way around. I think that's why the coach agreed so quick. Because usually it's like, don't call my dad, call my mom. But this strange kid wants his dad called. The coach is like, all right, whatever.
Okay, so. You're dead. Greg begins to get out of uniform and lets out a, oh, no. The coach mistakenly thinks Greg is saying this because of his rib pain. But Greg corrects him, telling him his ribs are fine. It's telling his mom that's going to be painful. Just then, Bobby jumps in and takes a photo and runs out laughing. No, he didn't.
He's like, wah! And he runs out. Now, so wait a minute. I don't know a whole lot about sports, admittedly, but the coach leaves the game just because a player got injured? Like, he's the main coach, isn't he? Like, yeah. And I know in football they have, like, you know, like the special teams coach, and they got, like, the offensive coach and the defensive, you know, all that kind of stuff. They can't have, like, the water boy or something walking back? Like, why is the head coach going back in the locker room with this guy?
Well, maybe, I mean,
it's not the Karate
game,
Kid.
Maybe the game's on hold until they kind of find out what's going on.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I've seen people get hurt at games, and they kind of – that shit goes on forever. Yeah. Until the game gets going again.
When is Greg going to bust out the Carol? You're not my real mom. Like, I want to see that episode. Because if it was a modern kid, he would have said that already. But also, Greg's kind of got some abs. I was impressed.
Yeah, I did notice that, too. Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And the coach, once again, you know, lift up that shirt, boy. Let me take a look. He was just like, he was so monotone and just like very, he was, I don't know. It's just weird. It's creepy.
And why would you check somebody's rib with them sitting down? Wouldn't it make more sense to check it when they're standing up?
Now, I've broken a rib before in a car accident.
I remember.
And I didn't feel that pain for a couple of days. And the doctor even, you know, he's like, well, it looks like you broke a rib. He's like, and I'm really surprised you can even, like, stand up right now. And I'm like, he's like, do you even feel it? I was like, no, I don't feel anything. He goes, well, give it a couple of days and you probably will. And boy, I tell you what, I sure did. A couple days later, it sucked. It was about a day or so, maybe 2 days, but then it just like, I couldn't even take a deep breath, like getting up and down. It was just like, it just felt like I had a really hard bruise on one side.
I had a cracked sternum one time.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah, that hurt as much as you think it would.
I feel like I broke a rib another time, but I didn't really feel much of it. Only because, like, you ever, like, have your kids walk on your back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, my kids are getting older now, and so they weigh a little bit more. And so I really need somebody to walk on my back. And at the time, my son didn't really want to, which he was like the perfect weight at the time. My daughter was like, I'll do it. I'm like, okay. So she gets on my back and she's crushing me, right? And I was like, and I literally heard it like around my rib area. And I was like, get off. I was like, I may have just broken a rib. I don't even know. But no, it didn't really hurt much. It was a little sore for a day or so, but it wasn't anything major.
I think I had a cracked sternum because a friend of mine stepped on my chest in a show. It was part of the blocking. And he was a big guy. He's 300-something pounds. I think he cracked my sternum. But anyways, this is where we take our first break.
Let me defend you for a second there. You can get hurt doing theater. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You. I sprained my ankle in theater, too. So there
you go.
So this is where we take our second break. So Greg is now a big time football player, big tough football player. Sorry, let me start that again.
This is big touch football player, which
big touch. Well, the coach, I mean, this is where we take our next break. So Greg is now a big tough football player, but is afraid of what his mommy will say now that he got injured. How is he going to tell Carol? We'll be back.
Ooh.
Hello, listeners of Random Other Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Cogswell, here with my co-host, Marie Mayhew.
Hey, everybody.
If you like podcasts like whatever podcast this is, then come listen to the Mad Scientist Podcast, a weekly show on the history, philosophy, and hard science between fringe and paranormal claims. Marie, what are some topics we've covered in the past?
We have covered UFOs. We've covered economic collapse. We have covered cats.
We did cover cats pretty distinctly.
Yes.
If you like podcasts and a little bit of humor and a little bit of singing
and some cats,
come listen to the Mad Scientist podcast, please.
Shoot.
And we are back.
Hootenanny.
Man, those back handsprings never get old. God, that's so weird you can do that.
It's so weird that I just randomly do that.
Yeah, I know. That's breaks. I always tell you to stop. But
are we on break now? All right. Watch this, Jimmy. Jimmy, are you watching me? Are you
watching the downstairs me? Neighbors must hate us. So this episode talks about football and about sports and stuff. And in this episode, Carol is really kind of concerned about the safety and well-being of her kid, even though, you know, tons of kids, you know, play high school sports and don't right. seem to get that hurt. Both of us are parents. Both yep. of us have teenage sons. Mm-hmm. How would you feel if your son came up and wanted to play any sport at all? Like, would that make you nervous in the least? Like, would you worry about it?
You know, it's kind of funny because I don't know. I never really thought, well, first of all, I have nothing to worry about, at least not right now. My son has no interest in anything like that. But, you know, if you would ask me just randomly, hey, how would you feel about your son playing football? I'd be like, I'd be fine with it. But now that I'm like really thinking about it,
right,
I would definitely have some concern, but I don't think I would not let him. I would absolutely right, right. let him, but I would definitely be really worried about him.
Is there any sport at all that you would not want him to do?
No. I don't think so.
If you were like, no, absolutely not.
Not that I can think of. No.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, my son isn't the athletic type. Mm. But he does show an interest. He has for a long time showed an interest in like cross country running, like long distance running. And it sort of kind of runs in the family because my brother Steve was into it. My uncle was into him. I have a cousin that's into it. I have another uncle that's into it. So a lot of people in my family enjoy running. Mm. Run for fun.
What the hell kind of fun is that?
So he kind of showed an interest in that for a little bit. Yeah. Quick story. It's we were at a hotel at Disney World. I can't remember what hotel it was, but it was on Disney property. And it's at a time where I was working out a lot, and we went to this gym that was on premise. And he wanted to go and try out the treadmill because he never tried a treadmill before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working out, and he picks this treadmill right next to these two teenage girls that were running.
Right? Yeah.
And he cranks it. He trips, and it launches him off the end of the conveyor, you know.
Who are we talking about?
Jake.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And, of course, he's super embarrassed. So God. I was like, you know what, let's just go ahead and go. And so I'm walking down the hallway, and he was like maybe 10, 9, so I can't remember how old he was, right? Mm-hmm. So we're walking down the hallway going back, and I asked him, I was like, well, I was going to stop and get something to eat. Are you hungry? And he's like, no, I really just want to go back to the hotel room. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. And I could tell he had gotten hurt, but he didn't want to say he got hurt.
Yeah.
Because he was embarrassed, you know, falling next to these two girls. Mm-hmm. And so we're walking back, and he's trailing me by like 15 feet, right? He doesn't want to be next to me, right? And every time I turn around to see what he's doing, he's looking at his elbow, and he stops, and he's like, what? I'm like, nothing. I'm just, I'm wondering if you're okay. I'm fine. I said I was fine. Like, okay. So I stop at the cafeteria. You sure you don't want anything? So, of course, I got two slices of cheesecake because there's two people. He's like, right. I'm not hungry. I'm like, well, these are for me, so I'm not really worried. And so he sits down, and as soon as he bites into the cheesecake, he's like, that really hurt. I was really embarrassed. I'm like, I know, buddy. I know. I felt so bad for him.
Well, that's what the cheesecake is for, son.
But like with Caitlin, she really showed an interest in sports because when she was about 8 years old, we took her to the skating rink. And she spotted hockey practice because hockey practice was ending. And she was adamant that she wanted to play hockey. So I tried to re-steer her. Asking, well, you know, they have figure skating practice here too. You wouldn't rather go figure skating? She's like, no, because I want to be able to knock people down. And so she really wanted to join. Yeah, she really wanted to join hockey. She was asking about like MMA or wrestling for a while. So she's always been the physical type, you know. Even like when you're around her, like you'll notice that she likes to hug a lot and stuff. She's very physical, you know. So, so I would be okay with either one of my kids playing sports. Luke is going to be our athlete. He's the youngest. He's four. He's going to be our athlete without a doubt. So this has me thinking already. He wants to play soccer.
That's cool.
All right. So I guess we can get back into this, right? So continuing our episode. Mm-hmm. When we left off, Greg got injured on the field and is being forced to get his ribs x-rayed. He doesn't mind pain unless the pain is Carol. Get it? The pain is Carol. Mm-hmm. How will he recover? Well, let's get back into it and see. Scene 17. We open to see Carol on the phone with Martha.
Shocking.
Just chatting away when the front door opens. Carol immediately tells Martha that she has to go and that she'll call her later as Greg and Mike come walking in. Carol cheerfully greets them with a, "Hi, honey. Hi, sweetheart." Which was which? Right? Then asks why they're home so early. But before he can answer, Carol tries to guess, saying that he probably played hooky and watched Greg's football game. Then pokes Greg in the ribs. Greg winces in pain, rubs it, and walks away. Carol continues without noticing, saying it was an awfully short game, wasn't it? As she looks at her watch. Mike finally stops Carol, telling her, "If you'd let me explain." But both are distracted by Greg making a sound as he sits on the couch. Carol gets super serious, asking Greg, "What's the matter?" Greg gets the deer in headlights look as he looks at Mike for help. Mike comes to the rescue, telling Carol that Greg injured his ribs. Greg tries to comfort Carol by telling her that the doctor said it was fine, but Carol only hears the word doctor and starts freaking out even more. As soon as she does, Greg looks at Mike and says, "See, Dad, I told you she'd make a big deal of it." Mike helps tremendously as he sits next to Carol, saying, "Well, look, son, a fractured rib isn't exactly a little deal." This sends Carol over the edge as she exclaims, "Fractured rib?" Greg tries to ease the tension by telling her it's just a hairline fracture. So he should have just popped it. Because that's what you said when I had a hairline fracture.
Oh, yeah.
But Carol looks at Greg sternly and tells him a fracture is a fracture. Greg tries to show Carol the bright side of it by telling her that he can still play. The doctor even said so. Carol turns to Mike, because, you know, Greg lies constantly, and asks Mike to confirm. Mike confirms, explaining that he would have to wear a rib protector of some kind, but he could still play. But there's still a possibility of a break. Greg sees what's happening and reiterates, saying it's only a small risk, and it's only if he gets hit in the exact same spot. Carol has heard enough and simply answers, "I'm sorry, Greg." Greg tries to argue his side, asking Carol if she knows the odds of getting hit in the exact same little spot. Carol answers, "Yes, zero, because you're not playing football."
Oh, damn.
Greg tries to explain, saying, "Oh, Mom," but is cut off by Mike. Mike explains that he's with Carol on this one. Greg, obviously heartbroken, as he explains that he finally made the first string. Carol simply smiles, telling him that it's okay because Warren Mullaney will take his spot on the team.
Warren fucking Mullaney.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Would have been so awesome.
They should have done that. Ugh, missed opportunity. All right. Sorry. Sorry, that didn't really happen.
No, but that would have been awesome.
So, the way I wrote it, I said, Carol simply smiles at him and tells him it's okay because Warren Mullaney took a spot on the team, and both her and Mike just laugh their asses off. Mike tells Greg that they simply want to wait until the doctor says it's completely healed, to which Carol agrees, which that surprised me.
Okay.
Because Mike says the line, "We just want to wait until the doctor says it's healed." And Carol's like, "Right, I agree." Okay, yeah. So you agree that you'll let him play again as soon as right. it's healed. So I thought she was going to say, "No more football, you'll never play again."
Right.
But she agrees with Mike when Mike says, "No, we'll let you play again as soon as you're healed." And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, wait a minute, so you're going to let him play again?
That's good, though.
Greg gets mad and begins to raise his voice, telling Mike that he'll miss the opening game. But Mike stays calm, telling him that if he gets hurt, he may miss all the opening games.
Mm.
Just then, with perfect timing, Alice comes around the corner announcing that dinner's ready and that she has a big surprise deck.
Mm.
Barbecued ribs.
Oh, Alice.
Mike, Carol, and Greg look grossed out by the joke, leaving Alice confused. Alice looks disappointed as she says, "Not that everybody liked ribs."
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm kind of impressed at Carol that she's actually going to let him play again. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's kind of impressive.
Maybe she's not the mullet bitch we thought she was. So, this is another long one.
Yep. Yeah, Scene 18. We are now in the boys' room later that day. Greg is sitting on the end of the bed with his football, attempting to make a throwing motion with his arm. But every time he does, he groans and holds his rib. Bobby comes in from the bathroom saying his pictures are dry and asks if Greg wants to see them. Greg brushes him off and telling him some other time. But Bobby pleads, asking Greg to look at just one. He hands him the photo of Marcia making the funny face. Greg chuckles and says she's going to love that. Seeing that Greg is interested, he hands him the rest of the photos, asking him to look at them. This seems to cheer Greg up. Greg hands them back to Bobby, telling him they're great. Bobby tells Greg that coming from an expert like him, it's a real compliment. After Bobby exits the room, the bathroom door opens again. This time, it's Jan and Marcia, asking if he's done developing pictures in the bathroom. They want to wash their hair. When Greg tells them they're done, they ask if he can get his junk out. Entering the bathroom, we see a photo enlarger, along with other trays and chemicals, all on the bathroom counter. Jan asks why they don't just bring their junk down to the laundry room. Greg explains that Alice told him to take the stuff up to the bathroom. As Greg carries the stuff out of the bathroom and back into his bedroom, Mike comes walking in. Mike glances into the bathroom to see if anyone is listening, then grins, asking Greg if he got evicted again. Greg smiles and says, yeah, anytime someone wants to wash their hair or wash some clothes or their balls. Mike then changes...
or jerk off.
Mike then changes subject, saying, Greg, I suppose you think I let you down. Greg answers, saying, there's a such thing as being too cautious. Mike takes what Greg says, thinks about it, and says, it's a matter of viewpoint. You wanted to play so badly that you were willing to take a risk. We weren't. Greg understands what Mike's saying, but goes on to say that the football team means a lot to him. Mike tries to raise his spirits and keep him involved by suggesting he find another way to help him. Greg scoffs at the idea, telling Mike that he can become the water boy or the equipment manager. You know, the stuff guys do they can't make the team. Mike agrees, telling Greg that those guys are making contributions too, and they're having fun at it. Greg asks Mike if he's ever heard cheering section for the water boy. Mike starts to get irritated at the attitude. He sits down and asks Greg sternly, is that why you wanted to play football? For the cheers? And he says, no, because I want to fucking tackle men on the ground. Like, seriously, like, why wouldn't he? Greg sees how that sounded and turns into a little crybaby as he explains to Mike that if he can't play, he doesn't want any part of it. Mike takes a moment to de-escalate the situation and begins asking Greg if he remembers what they told Carol when she decided to let him play. Teamwork. Win gracefully, lose with dignity. Greg reluctantly admits that he remembers. Mike continues telling him that wasn't just a snow job and that he meant that. He then drives the final nail in with a, I thought you meant it too. Greg jumps back, I did. Mike continues with the same soft but firm tone. Okay, you lost something. Take it like a man. Just then, the door on the bedroom opens. Peter walks in, announcing, "Phone call for a Mr. Greg Brady." Greg shortly asks, "Who is it?" Peter gets a huge grin on his
face. Who is it?
Peter gets a huge grin as he answers, "I didn't ask, but she sure sounds pretty." Peter giggles and runs out. Greg fears the worst, looking at Mike, telling him that it's Lynette, and he's about to get dumped. Mike, of course, slaps him on the ass as he walks out. Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, how did I miss that? We haven't seen an ass slap in a while.
Well, he probably figured they do it on the football field, so you know I can do it to my son.
Right.
Man, that was a long scene, so I apologize for that. But
you should apologize for writing a script.
You
before
wrote
you were
it,
born.
You ass.
It's impressive that they knew how to develop their own film. That impressed me. Now, granted, it's black and white film, and it's easier to do black and white.
Right,
than color,
I feel like more people have that skill back then, maybe.
Yeah. Also, I thought this was an impressive scene for Mike, or for Robert Reed, rather.
Yeah.
I mean, he totally broke it down and kind of, you know, disarmed Greg's argument. But even the way the scene was presented, it wasn't just a bunch of lines being said. Like, you can tell that Robert Reed, like, broke it up into sections. You know, like, you know, one section where Greg gets mad and he pauses and kind of diverts Greg to a different direction and pauses again to divert, you know what I mean? Like, he's steering Greg to a certain spot. So it was cool to be able to see that, you know, especially as a parent, be able to see him doing that. I don't know. It's kind of neat.
That's cool. Yeah.
You're like, ah, I thought it sucked, but okay.
no, not at all.
Scene 19. We see Greg sitting on the couch talking on the phone. We hear Greg explaining to Lynette that he didn't call because he got busy. Lynette admits that she was wondering why she didn't hear from him and was also wondering if his ribs were okay. Greg tells her they're fine. He goes on to say that he didn't think she'd want to waste her time with an ex-football player.
Mm.
Lynette seems to think this is really insulting, as she says, "Wow, that's really insulting."
Oh, yeah.
Greg sounds confused at her saying it's insulting, as he replies, "Insulting?" Lynette tells Greg that he must think she's a really shallow, superficial kind of person if she likes somebody just because they're a football player. Greg tries to backpedal, saying that he didn't mean it that way and that he just wasn't thinking, honest. Lynette seems hurt, but says okay. She then cheers up, changing the subject, asking Greg if she'll see him at the game Friday. Greg tells her he wasn't going to go to the game because he just wasn't feeling like it. Lynette seems disappointed, but tries one last time to get him to go, suggesting that he sit with the cheerleaders and they can watch the game together. Greg doesn't go for it, saying maybe some other time. Lynette even tries suggesting that he takes more pictures of her, giving cheers at a real game. Greg says he'll think about it and says goodnight. Lynette sounds disappointed as she tells Greg goodnight. And just then Bobby jumps out of Lynette's house and snaps a picture and runs off monocular. No, sorry.
No, that's not true.
Right? So what the fuck, Greg?
I know, he's blowing it.
The fuck, dude? God. You're gonna be a little bitch because you can't play a stupid game.
You know, I started like thinking about the scenario, like, so like, hey, you can sit with us cheerleaders and, you know, you can take more pictures. Like, how cool would that be? Because like all the cheerleaders are like, why aren't you playing? Like, oh, I hurt my rib. And like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, and they would all just be like, oh, hey. Just a bunch of giggles and be happening all night.
If I was Lynette, I'd fucking dump him. Like, Greg comes across as being kind of full of himself in this. Like, if I can't be the football star, I'm not going to grace my present. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you, dude. You weren't that good of a football player. It was your first game.
I think it was more of a, you know, like, he can't be a part of it, so he doesn't want to see it. He just kind of wants it out of sight, out of mind kind of
a
thing.
Well, that's the same attitude with the basketball. Obviously, he quit basketball. He wouldn't have time to do football. Wait, are they at the same time? Aren't there, like, seasons for that, like hunting?
I know football's on, or basketball's going on right now.
Oh, and you said we just had the Super Bowl, right? Okay, so yeah, he could
football's
do
football's over.
Okay. So, yeah.
All right, scene 20. It's the next morning before school. We see Jan, Marcia, and Peter coming into the kitchen to grab their lunches. They pick them up and leave, telling Carol, Alice, and Mike goodbye. After that, Cindy and Bobby come into the kitchen to get their lunches, but not before a stern warning from Alice, who tells them not to trade lunches with any other kids. because it makes her feel unwanted. Bobby seems shocked at her feeling unwanted and goes on to explain that her lunches trade better than any other lunches in the school. Alice seems surprised, asking, "Really?" Cindy confirms it, telling her that she once traded a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for a turtle. Alice thanks her for the confusing compliment as Cindy and Bobby both kiss Carol goodbye and say goodbye to Mike as they run out of the kitchen. Did she eat a turtle for lunch that day? Is that what she
did? Maybe she's talking about those ones with caramel and stuff.
<I'm joking>. Oh, maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. As they run out, Greg walks in looking groovy with ugly brown pants and a form-fitting zip-up shirt with a butterfly collar.
Sorry. Can
fly. He's carrying his books along with his camera. Mike asks if he's going to be taking pictures at school today. Greg says no, and then has to take pictures of Lynette at the big game today, but then tries to dismiss it, saying it's only because Lynette asked him to. Carol and Mike look at each other and chuckle. Mike then realizes the time, saying that he has to run himself. He kisses Carol goodbye, and just then Bobby really does pop up from behind the counter with his camera and snaps a photo. He giggles and says, "Boy, what a mushy picture this is going to be."
So he just decided that he's going to go after all. Like, he doesn't have to call, let her know.
Well, maybe he did. We just didn't see that.
But him busting out the photography.
And oh, thank God. I'm glad he's going to go to the game with Lynette.
That was really stressing you out.
I know. I was just like, he's blowing it. What is wrong? Because she's cute.
You're going to ruin it.
She's cute. I noticed that the producers or whoever it is, or casting director, really likes girls with pretty eyes. Like, I noticed that a lot.
Yeah. They almost crank up the colors on the eyes. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So scene 21.
Another long one for you.
Yep. We are now treated to football footage for no apparent reason at all.
Well, because they're at the game. So the big game. All right. And so the next scene 22. We're now back at the Brady residence. We see Alice feverishly writing on her blackboard what looks like a recipe. As soon as she's done, she exclaims, "I got it." As soon as she says this, Bobby jumps around the corner. He says, "Hey." And as soon as Alice turns around, he does the completely unexpected. He snaps a photo of her, Jimmy. Alice is temporarily blinded by the flash as she mutters, "The phantom photographer strikes again." Just then, Greg and Peter walk in, both seeming down. Alice excitedly asks if they won, but Greg looks down as he tells her they lost 7-6. 7-6? Really? That was the score? What a...
Maybe the defense is just really good.
I guess. I mean,
and the offense is really bad.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like both
sucks,
teams.
I'll tell you that much. But, sorry, that's me.
It's like both teams like equally suck, or they're both equally good. It's hard to tell. But anyway, well,
apparently the laces were out instead of in.
Yeah, and the kicker sucks too. See, we know a little bit about football.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, the kicker sucks on their
team.
Well,
no, I know a little bit about Ace Ventura.
So. Oh yeah, but still, you knew that Wyatt only had 6 points and not 7. Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyway, Peter then tells Alice that they got gypped, racist, and that it was a referee made a rotten call. When Alice asks what happened, Greg tells her that he didn't see the play because he was taking pictures with Lynette. Peter then begins explaining that their guy caught a pass for a touchdown, but the ref said it was out of bounds. Peter then goes into sports announcer mode, saying, "It's like this. It's the last second of the game." Alice echoes, "Last seconds." Peter continues, "And it's the only chance they have, a long pass. And they knew it, so they red dogged." Alice is confused by the term red dog, and so is Tack and Jimmy. So Peter tells her he'll show her. Peter runs over to the blackboard and begins to erase it. Alice sounds no, but again, it's too late. Peter turns around in surprise, asking if it was something important. Alice tells him it's just a recipe that's been handed down from generation to generation, ending with this one.
I almost put in the notes, So they red dogged, and Tech is going to explain what that means right now. But then I realized you'd be reading it, and that wouldn't make any sense for you to say that. So, did you see Alice's face when Greg tells her that he was taking pictures with Lynette?
No.
Because he walks by Alice, and he goes, oh, I didn't see it. I was taking pictures with Lynette. And Alice flashes him a look like, yeah. It's 100%. Yeah. It's like, hell yeah.
You're
going
to let
like,
me see them shits, right?
Like, I'm surprised she didn't know, but I'm like that's the way she was looking at
him. Give me copies of them.
And also, like I've said before, I don't watch this once before I make notes. I make notes as I watch it. And my first thought was, didn't Bobby literally just take a photo of this recipe? Like, he literally just took a photo of it right, 2 seconds ago. Right. So why is she freaking out so bad? And to your point, why is it on the blackboard that people obviously keep erasing?
Right. I've never seen anybody write on that blackboard until this.
Well, obviously people do. The kids do. Otherwise, they wouldn't go right to drawing on the blackboard when they have to explain something. All right.
So, like, Alice seemed like really interested in the game. Why didn't she just go? Like, is she like not allowed to? Like, well, you have work to do, Alice. You know, if you would have gotten this kitchen done a while ago, you could have gone to the game. You know, it's like.
Well, I mean, other than the fact that she can't drive, she could have taken the bus there. Cause that's how the kids get to school.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh. I don't know. Good question. Scene 23. Back in the boys' room, we see newspaper spread out and looks wet. The camera pans up to see Greg has been drawing his photos over his newspaper. The bedroom door opens and Mike walks in. He begins telling Greg that Peter told him the bad news. Greg reiterates that the ref made a rotten call. Mike asks what the score was. Greg tells him 7-6. Mike notices the photos that Greg is holding and asks if there's some of the pictures from during the game. Greg agrees, telling him they're photos of Lynette doing some of her cheerleading. He goes on to explain that he wanted to get them ready to give to her tonight. Mike takes another look and tells Greg that they're pretty good. Mike looks at one in particular, telling Greg that it's a good shot, a good action shot. Greg tells him that he should have been paying attention to the game because that's the play that lost him the game. And that you can even see the receiver in the shot. Mike tells him that, again, that it's a good shot and tells Greg that if he enlarges it, he might be able to see if he was in bounds or not. Greg gets excited and tells Mike that they should blow it up.
Oh, my God. So violent.
I know. Let's I mean, I know, the chemicals and, I know there's chemicals involved in doing it, but I don't think you can blow shit up. You might be able to. I don't know.
I was so excited because it was like, oh, shit, forensic photography. And I was like, ooh, this is exciting.
See, that's some insight as to how our brains work differently. I mean, yeah. I know we think a lot alike a lot of times, but my first thought was, what if Mike accidentally saw like a dick pic or a nude pic of Lynette or something? Like, that's the first thing I thought of was like, you know, wouldn't it be fun? Like, Dad, don't look at that picture. And it was like her, like, naked.
It's true. All right, scene 24. We then see Greg and Mike in the dark room, aka bathroom. They take the photo out of the solution and begin looking at it. Greg disappointingly says that you still can't tell if he's in bounds or not, which he totally could, by the way. Mike advises Greg to blow it up some more, which he does. Greg now has the photo enlarged fully, and you can plainly see the foot was in bounds.
Ooh.
Greg immediately wants to show the coach and asks to borrow Mike's car. Mike tells him that he will drive him over himself.
I don't think this could overturn a decision because there's no guarantee that this happened in that game. You can't see anything in the shot other than the player in the field.
I totally could have just staged it, like said a football player, hey, just, you know, right. And then you're going to change the outcome like days after the game's already over. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Hey, just let you know you guys didn't really win and we're going to have to go into. Oh, no, that would have been a touchdown, wouldn't it? So that wouldn't have been overtime. Okay, never mind. So anyways, yeah.
But it was like two different shots and like from the blow up to like. Yeah.
Well, because you wouldn't be able to enlarge it that clear anyways.
I know. Have enhance feature like they do on TV. Enhance. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. You see that in the forensic shows a lot. Yeah. Where they press a button, all of a sudden it like crystallizes in this perfectly clear picture. Like, you can't do that.
It's not real.
All right. Scene 25. We see Carol walk into the kitchen and open the oven, you know, as if she knows what she's looking at. She closes it as she hears Mike and Greg walking into the kitchen. Greg tells Carol that it's pretty hard to fight a judgment call, but it should give the coach some ammo to fight with. Mike tells her that the coach was pleased about the picture, but encourages Greg to tell Carol the real news. Greg tells Carol that he's back on the team. Carol gets her bitch face on as she asks, "You're what?" But Greg lets her off the hook, telling her he's the official photographer. Mike tells Carol that Greg is going to photograph the entire game so the team and the coach can study it later. Greg gets excited, saying that he gets a movie camera, a press pass, the whole works.
Mm.
One track mind Carol decides not to be happy for her son and join in his pride as at a job well done. Instead, she tells him that she's simply happy he won't get hurt. Greg changes tone, saying, "Unless..." Carol gets nervous, asking, "Unless what?" Greg tells her, "Unless he gets a broken eyelash from looking through the viewfinder."
Oh, Greg.
Carol then threatens physical harm on her already injured son by holding up her fist, saying, "Unless she breaks something else first." Greg and Mike simply laugh.
Carol is such a bitch.
She is. God.
So a little fun story for you. I don't know if you remember this or not, but back when we were like in high school, I don't remember why or how, but my mom had somehow gotten a job as a photographer, like during the football games for Rutledge High School.
That, yeah. But I think she was freelance, right?
Yeah.
Meaning
but
like she didn't work for school. She only
did it like a couple of times. I think she wasn't like regularly. So she'd gone out to the game and was like on the sidelines and was taking pictures.
Right.
And then at one point, like the football players, like, almost ran her over because she was like right on the line taking pictures, looking through a camera, and the play was like boom right into her, and she was like, "Oh!" Like had to, I can't remember if she got bumped or hit or knocked out of the way or not. I don't remember, but it's dangerous being a football photographer.
Oh
too,
yeah, no, so. Yeah, no shit, yeah. That's true. That's why they all sit up on the top of the bleachers now with big massive lenses. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But yeah. I've never got too much into this one. I did sports photography a little bit. I did some mixed martial arts sports photography.
Yeah.
And some of those pictures came out really, really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed doing that.
So what was she looking in the oven for? I don't remember, but it seems to me like she was like hanging out in the kitchen, like maybe reading a magazine or something. And then she hears Mike or whatever come home. So she all of a sudden like runs over to the oven, like, "Oh, hey," and then closes it and is like, what's going on? I'm so busy in the kitchen, you know.
That's funny. Yeah. It would have been funny if she's looking in the oven, like looking like she's doing something, and Alice walks in. We're not cooking anything. Like, oh.
Okay. Oven's not even on.
Like, this is such neat storage. Like, no, that's an oven, Carol. Like, that's not. But what's cool about it, if you notice, there's certain angles that the camera will get in and looking in from the family room in through the family room into the kitchen, and they have a brick pizza oven in their kitchen. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, they got something brick there. I'm not sure what it is.
I think that's a pizza oven. Well, that's the coolest thing.
I know. They never use it. Huh. Same with that like badass grill they have out there too. Like a brick grill and all that stuff.
That might be an indoor grill in their kitchen. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, I just thought that was cool. So.
Yep. All right. Scene 26. Alice is in the kitchen and back to her blackboard attempting to write the recipe again. But loses hope, saying it's useless. Just then, Bobby comes in to show Greg some of his pictures, one of them being the photo he took of Alice. Greg laughs, telling Alice she should see the expression on her face. Bobby tells Greg that he probably shouldn't show her because she'll get mad. This causes Alice to come over and look after promising Bobby she won't get mad. Alice immediately gets super excited, telling Bobby it's the best picture he's ever taken in his life. Not of her, but of her recipe that was written on the background.
Boom. There you go.
She then hugs Bobby and runs to the blackboard with the picture.
She's going to write that shit back on there, isn't she?
No, she didn't learn a damn thing. No.
Yes. And that's the end of the episode. That's the end of the episode.
Right.
So that was a fun one. All about, you know, football. Stuff,
football
and
stuff.
Photography, and some cool vintage football photography equipment there. Some of the cameras were kind of neat, but that enlarger was really neat. That's, if you look up a vintage Mars photo enlarger, that's what they used. It's exact. That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You ain't lying.
You ain't lying. And at this point, color photography would have been really new. Color photography just came out in like 66. So color photography would have only been five years old. So yeah, the kids wouldn't have, you know, color photography like they would have had access to would have only been like 6 years old and 5 or 6 years old. And the chemicals involved are a lot more dangerous than black and white. So it makes sense that they had black and white pictures and not color pictures. In case anybody's wondering.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy Klein, I have an email to read.
Stop playing. So anyways, oh, you're serious?
No.
Oh,
okay. I do. Okay. So we got an email here from Mindy Hyde.
Mindy?
Huh,
interesting. Okay.
Her subject reads, "Love your podcast," with like nice. Three exclamations. She says, "Hi. I just recently found your podcast as I wanted something upbeat to listen to while I run.
Nice.
I want to thank you for bringing a smile to my face and making me laugh out loud on my runs these past few weeks. I grew up watching the Bradys in reruns. They came on after school every day, and my childhood friend Rachel and I used to call each other on the phone watch it together that way. And then we would discuss and or make fun of the various groovy goings on.
That's cool.
Sounds like they were doing this podcast before
we were. That's what I was laughing about. Yeah, and plus I'm laughing at the thought of her running down the street just laughing by herself. People are gonna think just she's crazy. There's that crazy girl Mindy again laughing at herself.
It's Mindy, like I'm gonna mend a fence, but Mindy.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Mindy goes on. I'm fairly certain I've seen every episode at least 20 times each, except for the select few that are not that great, like the episode where Florence and Bob play the grandparents and that Kelly's kids one, which we've talked about, that isn't like Brady Bunch episode. And then certain ones, the Hawaii episodes, the one with the frog on Greg's date, Fright Night, and the one at the amusement park, I have probably seen 100 times. As a mom, I've made sure my kids have watched as well.
That's
they
cool.
love making fun of the clothes and the 70s lingo. My husband is not a huge fan, but he tolerates watching it just to make me happy.
That's awesome.
Mindy goes on. One aspect we all love to analyze is the vast array of unusual sound effects from the show. The do-do-do-do sound when we see the... Or no, it's do-do-do, or whatever it is. When you see the taboo idol in the Hawaii episodes.
Right.
The weird wah-wah-wah trumpet sound whenever someone steps on something or something funny happens. The variations on the theme song setting the scene or the mood. And OMG, the awesome sound effects when Greg brings home that junker car. Which we commented on, too. We talked about that.
Yeah.
I would love to hear y'all's take on all the unmistakable Brady sound effects.
I never thought about that. That's a good point. I know.
We use them on a daily basis whenever something odd happens around our house. I just wanted to thank you both for helping make my runs a lot more fun.
Well, that's cool.
I'm certainly racking up the miles because I keep running so I can keep listening to your hilarious commentary. And if you need a guest when you do the Hawaii episodes, hit me up. I'd love to discuss.
Yeah.
Mindy. That'd be cool. And she even had a little picture of herself too.
That's cool.
Yeah, we went back and forth a couple times, and I was like, I'm so glad we can make your gruesome runs a little more entertaining because I hate running. So
that's cool.
And then she posted a few more pictures, sent me a few more pictures of like her kids and stuff like that, all reenacting like Brady Bunch moments and stuff like that. It's awesome.
Yeah, they should be the Bradys for Halloween. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. There's like she sent a picture of her kid holding a ukulele like Bobby does in Hawaii. And also, I guess her other son laying down with like a big tarantula on his chest like it happened to Peter in Hawaii. It's so awesome. And then somebody else acting like they're surfing like Greg does in Hawaii. It's just kind of funny.
If she wants a good song to run to, she needs to download the next week's episode is the episode that has Davy Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in the parody movie from the 90s,
yeah,
he redid that song. Davy Jones was in the parody, if you haven't seen it. And he comes on and redoes the song, but modernized it because they have a rock band playing at their prom.
Yeah.
So he does a version of Look What You've Done to Me with a rock band behind him, like a modern. And it's a lot more upbeat, and that'd be a great song to run to. I almost feel like we should make a like a running mix for Mindy. I make a playlist.
No, she listens to our show.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't do that. What am I talking about? Okay. But that and Staying Alive are the two songs that I used to run to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's cool. Good. I'm glad that we can make a little bit of a difference making your runs a little bit nicer, a little mm-hmm. bit funnier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she seemed really cool. So I appreciate that, Mindy. That was that awesome. Cool. And love the that's pictures awesome. Too.
You'll have to show them too. Me and Tack are not in the same room this week.
Yeah.
But next time we are, I'll make sure I see those pictures. Yep. So that's interesting. That's cool.
All right. So this is where we say our disclaimer. We had a good time here today. Don't be offended. We do love the show. We're not racist or sexist.
No. Quite the opposite. We actually make fun of it.
That's right.
Hence what we do.
Also, I just wanted to put out too that right now, currently, our release days are Fridays, but they might be moved to Mondays coming up within the next couple weeks. So just look out for that.
So wait a minute. Is it going to be postponed until the next Monday, or are they going to get it like 5 days early?
Probably postponed.
Oh, dang it.
I know. That's such dicks.
But on another note,
yep,
we have some exciting news.
We do.
So go ahead, Tech. Let us have the exciting news.
Personally like to thank our patrons or our producers. We like to call them our producers. Without you, this couldn't be possible. And we personally want to thank Jim Larrison and Jenny.
Yes.
For signing up to be our first patrons on Patreon.
Yes. You guys are the OGs.
Right.
Or maybe we should call them OBs because the original Bradys. They're not really gangsters, but you know, anyways, yes, that was amazing. Like Tack had told me the news, and I was dumbfounded. That's awesome. Very, very, very humbling. You know what I mean?
It is extremely. And if you guys haven't checked out our Patreon, go check them out. We just updated the Patreon as well, and it's super exciting. And you get cool little stuff with your patronage. So
you do, and everybody else, you can listen to this next part if you really want to, but this really goes out to Jim Larrison and Jenny. We're gonna get your stuff out to you ASAP.
Yes. So yeah, I talked to them personally too.
You did? Okay, good. They both okay. The rest of you can listen again. So yes, that's. I mean, me and Tack can't tell you how nice it feels just to know that people like what we're doing, and you know. We kind of do it to entertain ourselves and to laugh and to make other people laugh with us and stuff. So to know that people enjoy it that much, that's cool. It makes it all worth it. It's awesome.
For sure. Like emails like Mindy sent and Jim and Jenny for signing up from Patreon. This is just it's amazing.
Yeah,
it is. It's so cool.
And it's easy to look at it and say, well, calm down, guys. It's not the point. It's the fact that, you know, people care this much. It's cool. So that's awesome.
All right, Jimmy, you want to assign some homework?
Yes. First order of business, check out our website at www.averybrittypodcast.com.
And do a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or CastBox.
Tell two friends about the show, or if you don't like the show, tell two enemies.
Send an email like Mindy did and tell us how you feel about the show, whether you like it or don't like it, averybrittypodcast@gmail.com.
And on that note, you don't necessarily have to have it read on air if you don't want to, but you know, by default we will unless you tell us otherwise. Join the Facebook group and join in the conversation and the fun. And I noticed this week we've had a lot of people requesting to be in the Facebook group. Like it's kind of getting more and more. That's awesome.
I know. It's very cool. If you'd like to be a producer, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/averybrittypodcast.
Check out our Instagram at averybrittypodcast.
Follow us on Facebook. Get real live up-to-date information. Like if I'm going to be late releasing an episode, that's where you find out.
And go watch the Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, your homework is season 3, episode 12, entitled Getting Davy Jones. And Tack will tell you what that's about. Go ahead, Tack.
All right. Well, Marcia says she can get Davy Jones to sing at her school's junior prom because of a letter Jones sent her as president of the local fan club. The problem is that she can't get to him to ask, and the school has already made the announcement.
Oh, damn. So,
Marcia.
Yeah, right. And they held that same storyline in one of the parodies.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. It was pretty, I mean, in the parody movie, spoiler alert, in the parody movie, they actually show him perform at the prom.
Yeah, so, we don't see it. Well, don't want to spoil next week's episode.
No, that's why I'm saying spoiler alert. But,
yeah. Gotcha.
So he always kind of reminds me of Richard Hammond. Davy Jones does. Yeah. I mean, probably not now. I don't know how old he is now, but he's got to be up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like. I haven't seen him, but in this, in the next one, he kind of looks like Richard Hammond a little bit.
Actually, I think he's dead. I think I looked it up yesterday. Seriously? I think he died in like 2012, I think.
What happened to the monkeys?
I don't know.
Because
they're just monkeying around. I don't know.
But I mean, the monkeys would have came out before the Brady Bunch, right?
I think it's after, but let's discuss that next week.
Okay. All right. That works. All right. Cool. So I believe that's it. And I want to thank, Jim Larrison and Ginny again, because I just think it's awesome. But on that note, I have been Jimmy.
And I've been Tack.
And this has been The Very Brady Podcast.
And we will see you on another sunshine day.
Keep smoting.
Hey, thanks so much for stopping by and checking out the show. And come on back here for new episodes every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Also, on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rate and review. It helps the show out tremendously. Head on over to averybradypodcast.com to check out past guests. And maybe you wonder what Jimmy and I look like, but, you know, it's not as good as you think, so don't get too excited. And you can contact us at averybradypodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email and we'll read it on the show. And also head on over to the merch store at tpublic.com. The link is in the description below. And don't forget to join the Facebook group. It's called A Very Brady Facebook Group. And also there's a like page for the show as well called A Very Brady Podcast. So join in on the fun, join in on the conversation, post memes, do whatever you want. Just don't be a racist dick. And be sure to also check out the Patreon page. If you enjoy the show, give a donation and become a patron. We'd certainly appreciate it. Just head on over to patreon.com/A Very Brady Podcast. Until then, this has been A Very Brady Podcast, and have a sunshine day.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.